It's to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. Part of the family of God. Have you become part of the family of God? The same way you become part of your family, you were born into your family and you're born again into the family of God. What a wonderful song. I'm thankful. Good crowd tonight. Thank you for coming. Tomorrow night's the last night. Now, don't stay home tomorrow night, really. You're alive and breathing, or you're just still warm from being right here in the service tomorrow night, and do what you can to bring someone with you to hear the message on the closing night of this crusade. But thank you for being here. Always a joy. I notice a number of people have anniversaries this month. Who has an anniversary this month? Anybody? All kind of people. Yeah. Mine was this month. Mine was February 12th. I was in California. Wait. I took care of my wife before I left, buddy. That's right. I know how to take care of a woman. I'll tell you that right now. In Illinois, it's wintertime. In fact, the week I left, 5 days with the wind chill was minus 20. So before I left, I took care of my wife. I went down to the gas station. I bought a 5 gallon of premium grade gasoline for that snowblower. Buddy, I want to tell you, I know how to take care of a woman. I really do. So my wife's happy. I better stop there. I get all these thoughts I can't express up here. Hey, God bless you. God bless you. Little, you know I love you. I do. This is just not a place to preach. Really, your friends, and I appreciate that. Love your pastor. And I pray for you folk every single day. I do. Look in your Bible. Luke 14, verse number 16. He said to him, a certain man made a great supper and bid many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, as done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. Rush on the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel him to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The story just said is a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly application. This story is easy to understand. The man that made this supper is God. The supper speaks of salvation. How come? Because it satisfies the hunger inside of a man's soul. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Why? He can satisfy that hunger inside your soul. Money cannot satisfy. Immorality cannot satisfy. Liquor cannot satisfy. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God, He can satisfy. Now, those sent out to invite are Christians. And those invited are who? The unsaved world. With that in mind tonight, look in your Bible. First of all, very simply, we find the preacher. I mentioned the word preacher. First of all, comes to your mind is some handsome, good-looking, muscular, athletic, charismatic individual like myself. But let's tell you something, friend. In the Bible, when you read the word preacher, it does not always refer to someone that stands behind the pulpit. You realize something? If you're saved tonight, you have the same responsibility to witness as your pastor has. Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. You say, Brother Mark, that means the apostles. I'm sorry, they were on the verse that says they were all scattered abroad. What did? Except the apostles. Understand that. They're in church, shut the world. Why? They realized soul winning was not a one-man job. It was a responsibility of every single believer. Now, I'm going beyond that. You're here tonight, you say, hey, preacher, I've been saved. Do you realize you have the same responsibility to witness as Jesus Christ himself had? Christ said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I. You understand that, friend? Christ's mission has become our commission. Let me ask you, how much like Christ are you? Bible says Christ came to seek. I like that word. Christ could have set up headquarters in Jerusalem and said, "Want to get saved? Come and see me." No. He came to see. He walked down the street. He knocked on the door. He brought up the subject. Friend, Bible salvation is aggressive evangelism. Bible salvation, we go out and attack the gates of hell to try and get folks saved. If you're saved tonight, you have the same responsibility as Jesus Christ had to witness to a lost and dying world. Now, what tells me is this. In that verse, notice how Christ identifies his servants, his preachers. He calls them servants. I like that. Why do I like that? Number one, anybody can be a servant. There are no qualifications to be a servant. My friend, what does that mean? My friend, anybody here tonight can be a servant and go out and tell others how to witness to Jesus Christ. Now, many times we think Bible Christians, boy, they were super saints. You're wrong. Give you an example. Apostle Paul. Sorry, ladies. Sorry. Paul was not tall, dark, and handsome. Your Bible says his bodily presence was weak. Understand that. Paul probably looks a lot like your husband. I'll move on quickly now. Number two, the Apostle Paul was not a great preacher. Why do you know that? I read my Bible. They said his speech is contemptible. What does that mean? When Paul preached, he would stutter, he would stammer. Hear me? You wouldn't want Paul to preach a youth rally. No, no. He was not a great preacher. Here it is, number three. Paul didn't have a lot of charisma. Paul was not really a great people person. Why do you say that? I read the book. Bible says, Paul said, "I was with you in fear and trembling." Get honest. As many times you got ready to knock on a door and you got a little afraid, so was Paul. Put together, here's Paul, not good looking, not a great preacher, not a lot of charisma. He goes out and shakes the gates of hell. Why? Because he identifies himself in epistle after epistle. He says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." And my friend, that's all God requires, is a servant. Now, what does a servant do? A servant's job description is not several paragraphs. It's one sentence. Get it? All a servant ever does is obey the master. See, I know some Christians want to dictate to the master. Now, Lord Jesus, I'll tell you, buddy, how you are. Man, I'd love to be a deacon. I teach him a thing or two. No, I'm not going soul winning. You don't pull that garbage. Well, I tell you, boy, I'd love to say, yes, sir, but how about knocking on the door? No, I'm not knocking on the door. No, no. Listen, a servant does not dictate. A servant obeys the master. And I'm so glad to say tonight, whoever you are, whatever you are, tonight God can use you to be a soul winner and touch somebody else. Many years ago, one of the first meetings I held was in Bark River, Michigan. I arrived in town to start a crusade, and Sunday morning, I preached, had them bow their head. Okay, if you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. A young man, 14, 16 years old, raised his hand along with five other people. So, here we'll sing a song. Want to get saved? Come and tell Pastor Amundsen. As the son, four people got saved. Young man did not respond. Again, on Sunday night, people raised their hand along with him. So, if you don't get saved, he did not. On Tuesday night, my friend, it happened. He was there. I preached, had him bow their head. By Tuesday night, the crowd was so great. The church members brought lawn chairs and sat outside. The inside was full of visitors. Tuesday night, I preached, had him bow their head, said, "Okay, not sure you're saved, but I want to pray for you. Raise your hand." Nine people raised their hand. One of them was Tim. So here we're going to sing a song. You want to get saved? Come and tell Pastor Robinson. Number of folks come. Tim did not respond. I said, "Okay, let's bow our heads. We're going to hum one stanza and we're going home." As we hummed, I saw Tim. He got in the aisle. He headed forward. He got halfway down the aisle. He got scared. He froze in the aisle and just stood there. You could see him shaking. Pastor went by and said, "Tim, you want to get saved?" Tim said, Tim came down, took Tim in the back room, and that night, Tim accepted Christ as his Savior. Afterward, I'm on the steps shaking hands with the pastor, and Tim came out. But I almost said, "Hey, Tim, what happened?" Said, "Preacher, tonight in that room, I accepted Jesus as my Savior." He said, "Wonderful." Then Tim said this, "Preacher, pick me up tomorrow night and take me out before the service. I can get all kinds of folks to come to revival. God will save them just like he saved me." Thomason said, "Okay, Tim. Now be ready, buddy. Tomorrow night at 5:30, we pick you up." "Okay, Pastor." This night we picked up Tim. "Where we go, Tim?" Go that way, okay? We're driving down a hard road. Pretty soon, Tim said, "Preacher, turn right. There's no road. Two dirt ruts." "Tim, you straight out, preacher? Turn right." We turn right. We bounce down these ruts for a couple of miles. We don't see a house. We don't see a moose. We don't see an elk. We don't see a deer. We see nothing. People said, Pastor, stop right here. Said, Pastor, you come back in about a half hour. I'll have all kinds of folks come to revival, and God will save them just like he saved me. Now, the pastor got up and found a stick. He jabbed the stick between the dirt ruts, got his handkerchief out, tied the handkerchief around the stick. He said, now, Tim, let me ask you, can you tell time? He said, sometimes. That's quite an answer, isn't it? Can you tell time? Sometimes. Okay, Tim, come here. With both hands at the bottom, you got to be right here, okay? Right here. Don't get lost. We can't wait for you. Okay, Pastor. Tim takes off running in the woods. But I'm assistant. Nobody lives here. Nobody. We go back into town, made four or five calls, back down the hard road, took a right. We're bouncing down the dirt road. Well, I'm assistant. Look! Here comes Tim walking through the woods. Behind him, nine people, eight of them are adults. Now, friend, we have a major transportation situation, okay? Now, here's why. Brother Amundsen had a Volkswagen, okay? Now, here's what we do. We stack the girls on the back seat on the floor, okay? One guy has his feet on the front bumper, has his hands in where the windshield wipers go. Look at the windshield wipers. There are two guys on the back bumper. Don't tell anybody. They're holding hands. They've got one hand inside that little window, okay? There's one guy, looked over the top. On this side, they're holding his hands. This side, they're holding his feet. Now, we got back to church that night. We start unloading. It looks like one of those circus cars, okay? Everybody's stiff and they get out like this. They're walking around. They get limbered up. Pretty soon, we get in church. I preach that night. Give the invitation. That night, 8 out of 9 walked down the aisle and got saved. Now, hear it. Tim got saved on Tuesday night. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the two services Sunday, he brought a total of 41 first-time visitors, 27 of them publicly walked down the aisle and received Christ as their Savior. You say, what? That guy must have been a baller. What I'll say about him. To start with, Tim had a speech impediment. Not a southern accent, a speech impediment, okay? When he talked, he was hard to understand. Number two, all over Tim's face, there was open, running sores, not acne. We've all been there. He had sores on his face. Number three, the morning after Tim got saved, Pastor told me, Brother Mark, he said, Tim is big for his age. He said, Tim is 16 years old, but he's in the fourth grade in the public school system. Put together, friend, here's a young man, not handsome, not brilliant, not athletic, but he goes out and shakes the gates of hell. Why? Because God's requirement for him to use you is nothing physical. It's you be a servant and yield yourself. You say, preacher, that's too much. Tell it to Christ. Amen. What's the Bible say? He took upon him the form of a servant. When you say, I'm too classy to go soul winning, but you said I'm better than Christ was, because Christ was a servant. And he come to seek lost people, that they might find him. Number one, we find the preachers. Number two, the proclamation. What do we tell people? Look in your Bible at verse number 17. He sent his servant at supper time, saying that we're bidden. Here is the proclamation. Come, for all things are now ready. Now, keep in mind, he is using a supper, speaking of salvation. Why? Because it satisfies. That verse again, come, for all things are now ready. Now listen, they were not invited to a potluck, come and bring something, no. They were invited to a meal like some churches have. We finish the meat, you bring the vegetables and the peanut butter pie. Little hint there, but no, he didn't say that either. What did he say? He said, come, for all things are now ready. In the spiritual realm, what's that referred to? Outside Jerusalem, they nail God's Son to a cross. He hangs there. At noonday, it becomes pitch black. On each side, there hangs thieves. As he hangs there, he hears the blood as it drips in puddles. They hear each other as they strain and gasp for a breath of air. Hanging there on the cross, pretty soon, God's Son grips the nails, and he cries out. He makes the greatest statement the world ever heard. He was not hallucinating. He was in his right mind. Christ said, it is finished, thank God. That's exactly what he meant. He didn't say, I've paid half for salvation. He didn't say, I've paid two-thirds. Christ took those nails and said, it's finished. I've paid 100% of what it takes to get you into heaven. Friend, it's just not a song. It's great theology. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. On that cross, Christ did 100% of what it takes to get you into heaven. You say, preacher, I think it's Christ plus baptism. Shame on you. You're a heartbeat from hell. You say, what Christ did was not enough. I have to add to it by being baptized. No, my friend. The thief that died beside Christ died right next to him. He was not baptized. And Christ said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Don't buy that garbage that baptism saves. It has not nothing to do with salvation. It's a testimony you have been saved. But my friend, Christ alone saves. Now watch what happens. They go out and invite people to be saved, and the same thing happens today. Look in your Bible. Look at verse number 18. They all with one consent begin to make excuse. Okay? Here we go. Number one, first of all. One guy said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. That is totally ignorant. I'll tell you why. What are they invited to? Supper. That's significant. In Bible times, they didn't have electric lights. As long as there was daylight, they worked in the field till it got pitch dark. They didn't go in and eat. Now wait. It's dark outside. Dark outside. This guy's got two problems. Number one, he said, I bought some land. Now I think I'll go look at it. Huh? That guy's pretty sharp financially, isn't he? Huh? He buys something he has not seen. Wait a minute. You out there in the dark, you can break a leg, fall in a ditch. This guy said, well, I bought some, I can't come to supper. No, I can't come to church because I bought some land. Now I'm going to go look at it. Something else wrong with that. It's nighttime, okay? It's dark. You can't see. Hey, what did that guy say? He said, excuse me into hell. I'm not interested in this salvation. Second guy is no smarter. Look in your Bible again. Look down, please, at verse number 19. The other said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Normally, there are 2 oxen, 2 yoke. He said, I bought 10 yoke of oxen. Then he said this. I go to prove them. Number one, the guy has already bought the oxen. Better or worse? He don't buy a used car without driving it. The salesman would love this turkey. I'll tell you that right now. But there's more here. Keep in mind, it's dark. He said, I'm going out and prove these oxen tonight. Now, I'm not a farmer, son of a farmer, but I can tell you something I know. Oxen have horns. They don't have headlights, buddy. You can't go out there at night and plow. They'll cut a foot off and they'll call you stubby, okay? That doesn't make a bit of sense. I want to tell you something. Any reason you give to reject Christ and burn in hell, it's a horrible excuse that you'll regret forever. The third guy is the dumbest guy of all. Look at the third guy. Look in your Bible. Verse 20. Another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Now, that is the dumbest excuse of all. I'll tell you why. Gentlemen, don't say amen. Don't say amen. But think back, okay? Remember those wonderful meals your wife fixed you when you first got saved. I'm the first one got married. My wife and I first got married. The first thing she tried to do was fried chicken, okay? When she got through, it looked like dried up mummy fingers, okay? You had to suck on it and gnaw. It was horrible. I thought, honey, this is good. I hope we can have this tomorrow. Yeah, it was pitiful. Yeah. Now, wait. Here's a guy. I didn't get any amens. I know why. A bunch of cowards out there. Anyway. But nothing of it. They're invited to have a great meal. He said, no, I buried a wife. Watch it. Please understand this. That guy didn't go to the supper because he was afraid what somebody would say. Hell is full of people. But got afraid what somebody would say if they walked an aisle. Got worried about what some family member might say if they come to Christ. The crowd might laugh you into hell. The devil will laugh at you all eternity if you go to hell, but they can't laugh you out of hell. The fear of man, the Bible says, brings a snare. When Christ talked about the people in hell, number one, he said, but the fearful, folks have played a public opinion, have crammed hell full. It's your soul, your destiny. Don't let some idiot keep you from Christ tonight. You step out and come and receive him. I was preaching in Lansing, Illinois, just out of Chicago. And one day Pastor Plotman said, there's a call we ought to make. We got in the car, drove out in the suburbs. The houses were all brick bungalows. They looked almost exactly alike. They were extremely well kept, well-mannered yards. Just a beautiful neighborhood of homes from probably the late 50s. Pulled up from the house, we went up to the door, and Brother Clopman knocked on the door. They opened the door. He said, is John here? She said, John's around back in the garage. Go around back and beat on the garage door. We walked around back and kind of shocked. A huge, pretty new, three-car garage. We went up and Brother Clopman beat on the door. A voice said, raise the door and come on in. As he raised the garage door, I saw a man, 30 years old, sitting in a wheelchair. He walked in, the pastor said, Joe, this is John. We talked a while. Pretty soon, the pastor said, John, tell Brother Mark about your accident. As we're talking, I realized something. The entire back wall, that three-car garage, was covered with newspaper clippings about John. At one time in that Hammond, Gary, Chicago area, he'd been an all-state high school baseball player, an all-state high school football player, an all-American high school basketball player. Chicago papers had given hundreds of feet to big write-ups, big pictures about John and his great athletic ability. John said, well, he said, I graduated from high school and I was going to Michigan to play basketball. That's when he said, I got a job out here at Bethlehem Steel. One day he said, I'm at work. A car is going overhead on tracks. Full of ore, said something happened. This day they don't know what. That car full of ore came off the tracks. It came hurling through the air. A guy hollered at me. I looked up. I started to run. That car and the ore fell on me and pinned me to the concrete floor. He said, sir, took them 3 hours to get it off of me. They rushed me to the hospital. He said, sir, I cannot use either leg or my left arm. All I can use is my right arm, my thumb, and these two fingers. But the doctors say I'm lucky just to be alive. I said, John, let me ask you a question. If your life had ended on the cold concrete floor at Bethlehem Steel, do you know right now you'd be in heaven? He said, no, I don't. I said, can I show you how? He said, I need to see that. I said, okay. Open my Bible. Show him four things. I'm so glad if you can count to four, you can get saved. Amen. Jesus said, suffer the children. He didn't say that. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Every summer I preach at camp. Who do I preach to? I always like to preach a couple of weeks, little kids. Why? Thank God, Paul, that great theologian, that brilliant mind, here's what Paul said, the simplicity of the gospel.
Amen.
Get that, friend. Nobody goes to hell because it's too hard to understand. Yeah. Folks go to hell because they got too much stinking pride to come and accept Jesus Christ. First of all, I showed John he was a sinner. The Bible says all, and that means you, sir, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, I pointed out to him there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul, not just the body, the soul of sin, it shall surely die. That refers to hell, death and hell, or the lake of fire. Number three, I explained to John, when Christ hung on Calvary, he was dying. He made it possible for him to be saved. Number four, I said, now, John, to be a Christian, what you need to do is accept Christ. Romans 10:13, whosoever, that includes you, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, let me ask you, right here, right now, you want to pray with me and accept Christ. He looked me right in the eye. Slowly. Deliberately. He shook his head negatively. He said, mister, you don't get it. He said, these legs are useless. This arm is worthless. He said, sir, there's nothing I could ever do to be saved I said, John, buddy, forgive me. You missed it, and it's my fault. I want to apologize. It's not what you do that gets you into heaven. It's accepting by faith what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross. That is what makes you a Christian, is accepting Him. I was just right there. When I made that statement with that good hand, he grabbed my hand, looked me right in the eye. I like what he said. He got the message. He said, Mister, if that's salvation, I'll take Him. Thank God he didn't say, I'll take it. It'll damn you, friend. He can save you. He wants to save you. He will save you. We prayed. I'll be honest. Got through praying, I was crying. I looked up, John was crying. Through the tears, he looked at me. I'll never forget what he said. Looked me right in the eye. Had time to smile on his face. Said, preacher, this is almost too good to be true. It's almost too good to be true. Thank God tonight. It is true, friend. I'm going to heaven not because of my preacher or moral. I'm going to heaven for one reason. 16-year-old boy. Fell on my back and been at church camp. I knew I was a sinner. I knew Christ died for me. And right there in that position, I accepted Him. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And that's the night I got saved. And thank God before you walk out that door tonight, you can know you're on the way to heaven. Not by baptism, church membership, but by accepting Him. Number three, and I'm through. The patience of God. Look in your Bible. Look at verse number 24. I say unto you, none of those men which were bidden. The guy that said, I'd rather have an ox than Jesus. The guy said, I'd rather own land than have real estate in heaven. The guy said, I don't want my wife laughing at me. I'm not accepting Christ. That's what he's referring to in verse number 24. I say unto you, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. He said, they'll not have my salvation. Many years ago, a man lived in New York. His hobby was, he was a spelunker. That means he explored caves. But of a certain cave in Colorado, had 3 weeks vacation, he said, I'm going out there and try to find a certain cave. He drove out there, got a general location. As he drove around, he found the cave like many others had, but there was a problem. The cave was located about two-thirds of the way up a sheer cliff. The man thought, man, I can't climb up there. If somehow I get that cave and explore it, I could file a claim on it and start a great tourist attraction. As he looked at the cave, he realized something. Directly above the cave opening, on top of the cliff, was a tree. That's the answer. He drove his car around back, come up the backside of the cliff, found the tree, tied a rope around it. He rappelled down and swung in the cave. When he got in the cave, he put a rope down, put a rock on the rope, got some thread out, tied the thread around the block, got the kerosene lantern, lit it, and started going in the cave. He went deeper and deeper in the cave. As he went out, there were decisions he had to make. Sometimes it split. Caverns to the left or the right. He went deeper and deeper, decision after decision, and pretty soon the man is crawling and he starts to realize the roof's getting lower and lower. Before long, he's crawling on his hands and knees, pushing the lantern ahead of him. He's almost ready to turn around and go back. He said, well, I'll go around the corner. All of a sudden, as he comes around the corner, he can't believe it. Beautiful caravan. The stalactites glistened and gleamed. And he had that ball of thread in his lantern, took off running to one of the stalactites, put a little tub, last bit of thread, pulled off that ball. Took about 3 steps, put the lantern down, got his hand over here, chipped off the rock. Oh, man, there's some more. Chipped off more. Oh, what a beauty. As he was chipping the rock off, the shadows flickered. He turned, fixed his eyes on the lantern, and the lantern went out, and the cabin is plunged in pitch blackness. He said, I can't panic. I know where the lantern is. Well, the lantern's a thread. If I find that thread, it'll get me out. As he walked in the darkness, back towards the lantern, all of a sudden, he tripped and fell. He still thought he knew where that lantern was. He got up, started walking again. In the darkness, he tripped and fell and lost all sense of direction. 25 years go by. Two men come to explore the cave. They go deeper and deeper in the bowels of that cave, and one guy, for so long, they're crawling one behind the other. Want to go back? Well, let's go a little further. We come this far. All of a sudden, the guy in the lead pulls around and says, "Wow, man, come on, hurry up. Look at this. It's beautiful. What a, look!" It's a rusty old man. I wonder how that got there. It's a skeleton. Friend, that's what hell's like tonight. They weep and wail and gnash their teeth and hope against hope that somehow they'll get out. But down inside, they know they never will. Why? There was one last time they heard the gospel. One last time they told Christ, "No!" And God never spoke to their heart again. If you ever intend to get saved, the Bible tells you when. Now is the day of salvation. Nobody ever made reservations in hell.
Right.
Nobody ever told me they intended to go to hell. And I'm glad to tell you tonight, you don't have to go to hell. Calvary paid the price. If you'll accept Him, you can go to heaven. Will you bow your head for prayer? Preacher?
Here tonight, and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you have a home in heaven, you couldn't hear it plainer than was given tonight. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Will you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure." All right. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but you know, I got a friend, family member, neighbor. You know, I haven't told them about Jesus. I haven't even invited them to come to church. And boy, I need to do that. Well, it'd be a terrible thing if someday when mankind is sent to hell forever and they stand at the great white throne judgment and turn and point their finger at you and you never told me. A sad day." I'm going to have the musicians play. I'm going to have a word of prayer and I'm going to ask God to move your heart tonight. Father, would you move in these folks' heart tonight that they would come to you. And dear God, please, I beg you in Jesus' name. Let's stand, everyone standing here tonight. And you say, "I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to make sure of that." Why don't you step out of that seat, come down this aisle. Let us show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Oh, that would be a terrible thing. If you don't know Jesus, come to church like this. We talk about it all the time. If you died today, right now, would you go to heaven? You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure." Then you come on right now. Let me show you from God's Word. Come right now. Come on. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." I was telling a fellow the other day, I was just got married. My wife and I just had our first baby, and Dave Vaughn, evangelist, preached at my father-in-law's church, and he said, "If you die tonight, you will never see that baby that you're holding in your hands ever again." My little guy was just about a month old. That shook me to the core. I mean, just shook me. That really spoke to my heart. Well, you know how it is. I didn't want to make people think that I wasn't saved, so, you know, that fear of all men, you know. So went out and headed towards home, and I said to Marcia, I said, "Marcia, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved." She said, "Good night. Why don't you go back and see that preacher?" So I turned that old car around, headed back, talked to the preacher about it. He shared me with some word of God that really changed my heart and my life, that I've helped a lot of people with. I had been saved. I just wasn't walking like I should, and old Satan was using that. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm just not sure." Hey, let me show you from the Word of God what the Bible says, and you go from there. All of us are sinners, and because we're sinners, we owe a penalty. There's one who paid that penalty, and if you call upon his name, he'll save you from your sins. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Why don't you come? Show you from the Word of God. Secondly, you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved. I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism." Well, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Come on. Let's get it done. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. We want to serve it." Well, come on. Why don't you be part of this place? One more time, you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." You don't have a moment to spare. You need to be saved. Won't you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for those who came forward tonight. Thank you for Brother Bruce coming forward and getting assurance of his salvation. Pray God you bless him with that. encourage him. Lord, I remember that night. Oh, the burden. The burden is off my shoulders. Thank God you save for the uttermost. Now, Lord, I pray you bless this time now, Lord, as we take the offering, Brother Joe. May it be a help and encouragement to him. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated. I'll show you the help. People said,
yeah.
See you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.